If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We've got Ryan Burrow sitting in the news desk there, Mark Carmen in the sports desk. Good morning, gentlemen. Lindsay sitting in the producer's chair. How's everybody doing?
Doing great. Ready to close out 2025. Looking forward to 2026.
You said that like kind of like with a tone, Ryan, like ready to close 2025 out.
That's with it. Yeah. Yeah. There was feeling there.
That is accurate.
There was a feeling there. Yeah. Well, I mean, see, I have a kind of a different view of 2025 because we welcomed our first grandchild in 2025.
Fantastic.
So she has sort of set the bar pretty high, and all the other shenanigans that are going on kind of pale by comparison. So I got a little something extra in my paycheck for that one.
That's awesome, Luke. Congrats. By the way, I'm off to a mediocre start today, but I'm trying to improve.
Carm, I heard you walked in the door 15 minutes early.
How does that news travel to you? What goes on around here? Is that a Ferguson?
I'm like Santa. I'm always watching.
I guess.
Or I'm like Roz from Monsters Incorporated. Mark Carmen, I'm always watching you.
I mean, I thought about fully fixing the hair before the 6 o'clock newscast, but I just...
No. You're having a stellar hair day. I like it.
I mean, I did get a cut yesterday.
Those that don't know, Mark Carmen has a really substantial head of hair. Like, it's envious. Like, those hair transplant guys, they should be calling you.
Yeah, well, I mean,
to promote, you know, not that you need it, but in other words, they can say, look at my head of hair, and, you know, you can pull a little fast one on them all.
I would love to endorse any product, quite frankly, and hairs would be outstanding. That'd be amazing. Slight thinning going on here, Lou, but I cover it up, so thank you.
It's all right. That's what the hats are for. And Ryan, you've got college and teenagers, right?
One who's going to college. Looks like we're going to land that plane here pretty soon and make a final decision.
That's a stressful time.
There's no backup, so I think we're pretty set.
But I mean, it's a stressful time where I'm sure that during the high, is it a son or a daughter?
My daughter, yeah.
Your daughter.
Senior year, so every holiday,
I'm sure at every party that you went to, the question was, so, where are you going?
Yeah.
Have you made a decision?
Yeah.
And they're just ready to kill you.
What are you going to study? What are you going to do with the boyfriend? Lots of questions about that, yeah.
Right. Well, that's good. It's exciting. That's very exciting, yeah. And that's nice. Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. These are good things that they end up going where they belong, which I learned with four kids.
Yeah.
And then once they get there, they absolutely love it.
We did a campus tour last month and the snow was falling. It's in Minnesota and the snow was falling. And I'm like, yeah, this fits. This just seems right for her.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, did you go to the school you wanted to go to? College?
Is
that the school?
Yeah, one of them.
Right, but I mean, like, was that your top choice?
No.
No.
I didn't really have one, though. I didn't know. I just went where the wind took me.
I love people like that. Thank you.
You're like the Dolly Parton wildflower song, right? Wildflowers grow where they go.
I'll take it.
It all worked out.
It took me. It all worked out.
Carm, how about you? Did you go where you wanted to go?
No, Lou. My high school performance was a little on the low end, so my options were not plentiful. It was a big debate between Southern Illinois and the University of Hartford for a 1 year stint, but Hartford sounded like Harvard, so I did that. And
that's good.
Yeah, and you know, the Bulls played out east back then. That was at the Jordan heyday, so we saw them play up and down the East Coast, and then landing in Iowa. That's what I wanted. So yes, in the end,
that's good, right? So with your daughter, Ryan, that's exactly what'll happen. She'll find her way, and it'll be great.
Looking forward to it.
It'll be great. That's fun. It's exciting. That's an exciting time. Well, good. So then everybody had a good holiday. That's nice. I know, Lindsay, you've been traveling a little bit and back and forth, and I know Santa was kind to the girls because we traded some text messages, and so that's always fun.
Yes,
it's a good age.
Mom is tired. Mommy tired.
Right. Right. Everybody's a little tired, but that's good. We've got a big Bears game coming up. Mark Carmen, I'm sure you've previewed that on that. What's that podcast called you do Monday through Thursday on YouTube?
The old CHGO Bears podcast. Yes, we've previewed it. We've examined it. We have talked about Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, everything around it. Yeah, it's a big day for the Bears with the Packers playing tonight at home. If Green Bay loses, they clinch the NFC North, which means you get a home game in the playoffs.
And who are the Packers playing tonight?
They got the Baltimore Ravens, which I forget the exact line on this game.
Isn't their quarterback out?
Jordan Love is out, concussed by the Bears last week with Austin.
But what about the Ravens?
Oh, and then Lamar Jackson.
He was out, right?
He was out. I got to actually double check on that, Lou, because I thought that was going back and forth this week. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
He's more focused on the Bears winning than the Packers.
Right.
No, I should absolutely know that, but I think it's gone back and forth. I assume he's playing, but I'm not 100% certain.
So, Lindsay, I think everyone will find this interesting as well. So, I have noticed, and I haven't really paid much attention to it, like closely, but that every now and then when I watch the Bears game, Caleb Williams, I'm like, huh, he paints his fingernails.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, I know that catchers will sometimes do that, right, in baseball, because they use their fingers for signs and it's easier for the pitcher to see. And I was thinking, boy, I wonder if there is a sports reason, or if it's just a this is who he is type of reason. And then, of course, you know, towards the tail end of the season, there's millions of stories about everything. His mother was a nail technician.
There you go.
And so he, according to what I read, he uses this as a way to be close to his mom.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't it? That is.
Yeah, it
right?
is cute.
And then he also now is, because people are noticing it, he's painting his nails for a purpose. So in one of the games, he did the phone number of, like, the suicide hotline number. You know, like, if you're having a problem, you know, you're right?
Oh.
Nails for a cause.
Nails for a cause. I like when athletes do that kind of stuff. And it was subtle. I don't, right? Did he market him or talk
totally.
About it?
Totally.
He didn't, but, you know, it gets a lot of attention, and you know, the football world, it's can be a little bit of a lightning rod. We pin your nails, that type of stuff. But
be who you want to be.
Right, and well, and
Caleb, rose above.
There you go. And Caleb, you know, they win the biggest game of the year last week, and you know, he throws the touchdown pass to beat the Packers, and DJ Moore does the snow angel in the end zone, and Soldier Field goes crazy. The guy ran around Soldier Field to the fans and did a full circle, giving high fives to everybody who stayed for a little bit longer before racing out to their cars. I mean, how cool is that?
Wow. Yeah, that is cool. That was a big game.
It was awesome.
I know, Lindsay, you missed Don, because there's no Packer fans anymore.
I really do. I was watching it with three Packer fans and one Bear, my dad.
Oh, right.
And the first half was great. I mean, most of it was great.
The Packers, I get in so much trouble when I say this, but the Packers totally outplayed the Bears the whole game.
And everyone was giving my dad such a hard time. And then at the end, when everything flipped, it was like, my dad just got up and left. For his little side, he's like, I have nothing to say. Anything I say is going to be
right.
shut down, right. So I'm going to go.
Right. I love it.
And he did.
I love it.
And that was the best choice.
All right. Well, nice to be with you all. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. We are here until 10 o'clock this morning. I've got a very good noodle-oo, too. That'll keep your rear end toasty and warm, which I think you'll find pretty interesting. We're finishing up our kind of a series that we did in December, speaking to different organizations that are out there helping people. And this is one that I worked with a number of years ago, and they had like a little bit of a change in their management, and I had not heard or talked with them for a little bit, and we reached out to them again, and they are still, in fact, around, an organization called Humble Design, which is just a really terrific place doing excellent work in the Chicagoland area. As a matter of fact, they're doing work all across the country. They've got different locations where they do their work. And essentially, when there are people that have been unhoused and, you know, all of a sudden they get into some type of housing, whether it's an apartment or a house, whatever it is, think about it. If you've been in that situation, you have nothing. And they come in with designers, legitimate designers. They come in, they look at the space, and then within 24 hours, they transform the place, and it has beds and linens and, you know, all the things you need in a bathroom. There's a microwave, a teapot, you know, all the kind of stuff that you would need, complete. Really, really spectacular organization. We'll talk with them after 8:30 this morning. But I want to talk to you. 857-557-4LOU. You got stuff going around your house you need help with? Is there something that broke? Is there something you need to replace? Do you need an opinion? If you call in and you're my first caller, remember, you will win a Mr. Floor choice of products to help keep your home maintained. So give us a call, 857-557-4LOU. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Happy New Year. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Let me read this for you because you're going to be our big winner. Congrats. You're starting the day with a win for being our first caller. You're going to get the chance of your choice of a Mr. Floor cleaning product, wood floor, cabinetry, countertop, tile, natural stone, or vinyl floor. Mr. Floor products have been cleaning up Chicagoland for over 35 years. Get 20% off at MrFloor.com with promo code HOUSESMARTS. How may I help you?
Very nice. That's a nice Christmas gift. Yes. I have a 4,000 square foot house, and I have two furnaces, one for the main floor, one for the second floor.
Okay.
And I maintain the furnaces. I just recently had two brand new capacitors. Am I saying that right?
Capacitors, sure. Yep.
Yes. But I just noticed recently now when the main furnace fires on the main floor, there's like a bang or a click before it fires.
Mm. Okay. Well, so, but that's after these capacitors got replaced. You've noticed that?
I just noticed it recently. I didn't hear it fire. Once they changed the capacitors, there was no noise. And then probably 2 or 3 weeks later,
okay.
I'm thinking, what is that bang or click when a furnace goes a fire?
Right.
Just on the one furnace, main floor.
So, it sounds like there's an adjustment, or there's also these switches that are associated with the capacitor, and it's possible that you got a bad switch, too, that the banging could be the burner lighting, and there's a little bit too much gas coming than it lights that gives you that bang. Kind of like, you know, if you've ever, back in the day when you would light a burner on a stove, maybe you'd turn the gas on and you'd hold a match there and you get that whoomp, you know. That might be what the bang is, and there might be a sensor that needs to be adjusted and or replaced because now, you know, the capacitor, for those listening, and you may know this as well, it's basically like a defibrillator for your furnace, and there's also a capacitor in your air conditioner. And that thing ignites. It gives a nice big jolt of electricity to kick everything on, and in particular the blower motor. And so when it does that, it's a rush of electricity, and there might be a pass-through or something there that also needs to be replaced and or adjusted that could be because you have a new capacitor.
Yeah, because these furnaces are 20 years old now.
But, okay.
I just bought this house 4 years ago, and the previous homeowners maintained it, and I maintain it every fall and spring.
I mean, look, there's, the industry talks about the fact that, when it's 15 years old, you should think about replacing it, but there's no question that you can get 20-plus years out of a furnace if you maintain it. And, you know, you will get to a point where, you know, you'll make the decision, is this worth it? You know, if all of a sudden you get multiple things that go wrong, a motherboard or you need a blower motor, and, you know, they're telling you, hey, Don, you know, we're going to have to replace all these parts and it's going to be $3,000. And you know, a new furnace is more than three, but you know, but it's more efficient and different features and whatnot. So what you're experiencing could be a condition because the capacitor's new, and the reason you didn't you didn't experience it right away is it sounds crazy, but it kind of worked itself into that, and now whatever that switch was or that the sensor on the gas valve
getting weak.
Correct. So I would have them come back and take a look at it and see if they can replace that part as well. It shouldn't be terribly expensive, but it's one more thing that has to get replaced.
Yeah, because they gave me a price already for putting in new furnaces and whatnot. I did replace one air conditioner on the exterior.
Right, but I'm saying I don't think you need to replace the furnaces. I think that you just need to replace the part.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
You have a nice day, Don. I appreciate you calling, and Happy New Year to you, sir. This is Jennifer in Streeter. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. Happy New Year to everyone.
You as well.
I love your show.
Thank you. I love you.
Yes. Aw, shucks.
How may I help you?
Well, I'm going to start I always start my spring cleaning in January. I know that's a little early, but you're stuck inside, so it's really nice to get started.
Right.
And it makes the house feel better. And one of the first things I like to do is clean my hardwood floors.
Okay.
And I've always used, like, the Murphy's Oil soap and then put down some of this Amish oil stuff and it gets real slippery, kind of. I probably overdo it.
Right.
But and let it sit before I put the stuff back. What's a better way to clean my floors, or the best way?
Well, we've been talking now, and this company's been around for a while. There's a company called Mr. Floor. They're actually a sponsor of the show as well.
I heard the ad. That's right. What I was calling.
And
for.
They,
I heard the ad.
Yeah. So they make a really good pH balance floor cleaner, and actually a full line of products for not only hardwood, but hard surface floors as well, you know, vinyl and ceramic and things like that. And, you know, there's several other companies that make these products as well, but these guys, it's, you know, so they're a flooring contractor, right? And so they spend all these years and still do, and they see the mistakes that people make. Exactly what you just said. I use this stuff and it's a little slippery and then it can leave a residue, and they're like, there's got to be a better way. So they come up with their own concoction. And what they did was that they'd get done redoing someone's floor and they'd say, hey, you know, we made this in the back. Use this on your floor. And if you need more, you know, we'll send it to you. And then they realized, wow, I could make some of this and sell it to people and they could all benefit from it as well. So I would try for your spring cleaning this year their hardwood floor cleaner and see what you think.
Okay.
Now.
That sounds great, because I was wondering how that works.
Right. Go. Now, if you can, they have some retail locations, but you really can order from their website, which is MrFloor.com.
Yes.
And if you use the promo code HOUSESMARTS, when they say, do you have a promo code, you can save 20%.
Awesomely cool. Very
so,
wonderful.
So, save a couple bucks.
A Christmas present from you.
Well, you. Sort of. And then you sort save of. A couple bucks and then try it out. And then, you know, the fact that you use this oil on there, that oil soap, you may need to do, you know, you're going to want some kind of mop with a microfiber pad on it. And you may have
that
to do
was my second question. What should I use?
Right. Yeah. So you're going to want one of those. And, you know, you can even buy, like the mops that have the bottle that you can put the cleaner in. So you squeeze the trigger and it's right then and there. That's kind of nice and convenient to keep around. And you can put that Mr. Floor cleaner in that mop.
That sounds great. I like the idea of the mop with the sprayer on
right.
it. I think I had one for my kitchen floor, but it was just a laminate. But I never thought of using it on my hardwood.
Get one of those and then just make it dedicated to your wood floors, and then you put the product in there, and then when you need a spill or you notice, you know, oh, there's a bunch of tracks in here, I need to clean it up. We have that at our house. I've got one hanging in there, and use the floor cleaner, you know, the wood floor cleaner when on demand when you need it, and it's really easy to use.
With a microfiber, you think?
Right.
Okay. Well, that sounds great, and I'm getting excited about starting my spring cleaning, and I've got to, you know, time yourself out so that I make sure I have my product, I have my utensils and everything ready to go so that I'm not running down to Ace every time I
turn around. Well, you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game. Yeah, you're ahead of the game. That's good.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
I appreciate you calling. Yeah, take care. Thank you so much. 857-557-4LOU. Does that give you a little stress, Lindsay, to think that she's already starting with her spring cleaning and you're still trying to recuperate from Christmas?
I was going to say I'm still doing the Christmas cleaning. So yes. But
yeah, your house does take a beating during the holidays, right? I mean, there's a lot to do. Now, when will you take Christmas down?
I was going to say, and we'll take it down, I mean, typically after New Year's, but we are up in Green Bay right now, and I was already stressing about when we left yesterday that when we come back, it's going to be January 3rd, and that's like 2 days late, so I was already starting to clean up on Christmas Day because I knew it was going to drive me crazy. Put all the stuff in the dining room.
I do like to keep it up till the holiday too, right? Till the new year. Yes. It's just nice, you know, and keep it up there.
Put so
and
much we'll fest work in. Into it.
Right. Well, and I mean, for you, I mean, you put it up right after Halloween, so.
That's correct.
So it's been up for a while.
That is correct.
Well, you and I did, although you did send a beautiful picture, and I suppose we should talk about this because maybe they're, you know, for people for next year, but. You and I did a little project with the folks at Ace, and they have these trees, and you bought one of those trees. That tree is beautiful.
The picture I don't want to brag, sent, but I get so many compliments on it. Truly. Where did you get that? It really is beautiful.
Yeah. So we did this thing with Ace. Ace has these sparkle. Oh my gosh. Now I'm going to blank on what they're called. They have different.
Emerald Sparkle tree.
It was their, it's like this huge TikTok, you know, people were going crazy for this tree. And the technology with these Christmas trees now, where you don't have to plug stuff in, they call it their power pole technology. So you put the base in and you put the next one in, and the minute you just click it in, the lights turn on. And you sent a picture of it all decorated with your presents around it. I mean, it was like a postcard. I couldn't
it
believe
really
how
was.
Beautiful it was.
It
and
really
the lights
was.
Have a little bit of a sparkle, like a twinkle. Really nice.
You can change them. Christmas morning, they were colored, but typically they were white. It's the best tree. I know that it's so silly, but it made me so happy.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, they're not inexpensive, but they're super durable, and you'll have it for years and years and years. And so, you know, if you're out and about looking for shopping, opportunities that wouldn't surprise me if there's a few trees left at your Aces.
Yes. Okay, here's my question with those trees, though.
Yeah.
Mr. Fix-It. Yeah. What happens when, like, how, I mean, we have the tree on a lot. We would have it on all day and that for probably 6 weeks, and then we would turn it off at night. But, like, what happens when
we never turn ours off.
Oh, really? Mm-mm. I felt like I need to, like, save the, what happens when a bulb goes out? Or what, I mean, on these
well,
trees
so with
that
the
are
LED,
pre-lit.
The whole idea is that, it, you know, they're going to last forever and ever, but there is a possibility that a diode goes out, and in your pack, they probably gave you some extra little diodes, but you will also be able to buy those as well.
Okay, good.
And they're unlike the traditional, like we used to, you know, there is a tool, remember called a Lightkeeper Pro, which if you have incandescent lights can help you repair those lights. They also make a LED Keeper, which is a tool that helps you repair LED lights. Because while they're super durable, there can be issues and you got to find the location. It's a little bit more, there's a couple extra steps to get it done. But for you or anybody, you buy that kind of expensive tree, you know, you're not going to be like, oh my gosh, now I need a new tree. You're going to fix what you have.
Right. But so this should last a while, the lights that are on there now.
I mean, we have an LED Christmas tree that we that is the earlier version of the power pole. And I'm going to say that tree is 10 years old.
Oh, good.
And when we put it up, it's plugged in and we never turn it off.
Oh, good.
So
that
it makes me feel runs, better. But I mean, think about it. It runs, so, I don't know, what does it run? 6 weeks? And then it's back in the box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's running for a year. So, and it's 10 years old. And if there's a light out, I can't see it. You know what I mean? Because it's
so it's not like one, if one goes out, the whole branch.
No. And it's good. It's not where you have the little twinkle one, which is really cool looking. These are just on, but it's a beautiful tree. Then, you know, I'm not as fancy, you know, someday I aspire to be as cool as you around Christmas.
What? With my tree?
You have the nicer tree. That's fine. I get it. All right. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. We're keeping the cold out and the comfort in. We're live from the PermaSeal Attic Insulation Studios. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hey, Lou. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you. So I had an attached garage in my old home, and I never ran into this problem. And last winter was so mild, it wasn't an issue. But this winter, I'm having things like freeze in my garage fridge after I put a new appliance package in. I had them take the fridge to the garage. So I'm wondering if there's something I can do to avoid that besides insulating it and heating a detached garage.
Wait, so the thing is the fridge is shutting down when it gets too cold?
I open the fridge and like cans of pop.
Okay.
And of course, non-alcoholic beer.
Right.
Are burst.
Right. So the reason is that the temperature there, so you don't have to insulate it. You're going to buy I'm trying to remember what it's called. There's a little bit of there's a part you're going to buy to install on your fridge, and this is going to solve the problem. What's happening is it's not, your fridge is not designed to be outside. And so when the temperature gets really cold, it senses that it's really cold and it shuts itself off. Well, it's really cold, even though it's an insulated box, it freezes, and this is what you're experiencing. This little part is, I'm holding my finger 6 inches long, and it's got a wire on two end. It's not a reserve. Oh my gosh, what is it called? I installed one once years ago. I had the same problem, and it solves the problem. Basically, it overrides the thermostat so that it only is registering the temperature inside the box. It's not going to heat it, but it isn't going to keep cooling it and cause this problem. So the part's going to cost you like $30. But what is it called? That's what you want to know, right? That's why you called.
That's why I called, but I can call back.
No. It's going to come to me. I'm just trying to think of refrigerator part.
How can I help you?
Yes, it's a refrigerator part for outdoor application. it is it's a component. It's I'm finding it. Burner office orifice kit? No, that's not it. Anyway, keep listening. I'll find it and I'll tell you what it is. It'll take me a second.
I will keep,
but it is a little part that you put in there, and it and you wire it in, and then your problem is solved.
Okay. I will keep listening. I have one other question if you have time.
Sure, absolutely. No, go ahead.
So last winter was so mild in my new home that I didn't have this issue, but this winter with that last big snow, I had icicles hanging down to the ground at each corner. Is there a product that I can put in the gutter system in the corners to prevent that? And I know that, I know they sell pucks. You talked about hockey pucks that I can toss on the roof to like melt everything.
Right.
But I'm wondering if I can just prevent it altogether.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things, right? You want to make sure that you've got enough attic insulation that you're not losing a bunch of heat. Now, what we just experienced recently, you know, with the really cold weather and the snow and everything, everybody had that problem with icicles, and it was really more atmospheric right. than it was a problem with the house. But you're going to make sure the gutters are clean, downspouts are clean, you know, before winter comes. That's A, number one. And then B, right. double check to make sure you have enough attic insulation. There's no leakage or, you know, coming there that's warming up that roof causing that. If you continue to have the problem, you know, you may want to think about gutter or roof cables that, that would work, that, you know, that would kick on when the temperature is, you know, it's thermostatically controlled, some of them. So when the temperature gets below 30 degrees, they kick on. Now, the problem with them is they use a fair amount of energy, and you know, you can have dry, clear days that are 20 degrees outside.
And it would kick in.
Correct. And so, but if you try to play the game like, oh, I'll just plug them in when I need it, once the ice forms and you plug them in, it's kind of too late.
Right.
Right? And so you kind of have to, you know, I don't know, not bite the bullet, but you got to just be like, okay, I'm just going to go with this and I'm not going to have a problem.
Okay.
So, try that. Keep listening.
I'll do my due diligence, and thank you for all your work for Ms. Recorder, by the way.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for listening. I'll find that part, and I'll let you know what that is. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Is this the picture you just sent me? Is that like a ChatGPT version of the picture you sent me of your tree?
Yeah. It's my new thing.
It's like a
you turn it into like a Norman postcard. Rockwell. I know. You say turn this photo into a Norman Rockwell.
It's and that's what it did?
On Instagram. Yeah. It's amazing, right?
This thing's like so that's fun. The this kind of chat that's the kind of stuff I want from my ChatGPT.
Totally.
I don't want him to eliminate jobs. But I guess that just did eliminate a job. I mean, that's the picture
Norman
with the
Norman Rockwell's out of a job.
Come on, he's no longer with us.
I know.
Right.
I know.
But wait, were there really that many presents under your tree?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that too, because it
that looks like it's a tree for like a football team.
I know.
Do you still have the original picture? They added some pictures, but the oh wait, can I say it? Those big round things in the back, because they know that you have snow tubes to go sledding, right?
Those are really give it some height.
Yeah, right.
In the photo.
Right.
And
of course.
The wow factor, you know?
I can only imagine when you were getting ready to take this picture. Good Lord, I'm glad I wasn't there. No, move that over to the right. Move that over a little bit more.
No, it wasn't for the picture, but that's, you know, when the kids wake up, you know, it's got to.
Oh, right. The presentation.
Height. You know, it's got. Right. Yes.
Right. It's beautiful.
I don't know. I highly suggest it. ChatGPT all day long.
Right. You should post that on your Instagram. This is Lindsay's tree. Actually, you should post that on the show page. We can show people
your
tree.
Well, that doesn't show the sparkle, though. Maybe I'll do before and after.
All right, do
just
that.
Just to really wow them.
Just to show you how nice this tree really is. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Hope you had a lovely holiday season. That part that I was talking about, it's a dual thermostat. And so it is a dual thermostat design is what you put in when you buy garage fridges that are designed to go in the garage. The other little tip that I forgot about was you can just take a work light with a light bulb, not an LED light bulb. You need like a halogen light bulb, and you put it on, you know, those clip-on aluminum lights that you can buy. They're very inexpensive. Plug it in. Put it in the back. There's a cover on the back that you need to take off and just have the light go there. It's like keeping a little chicken, like a chick warm when they're born with the light. It's just enough heat to fool the thermostat that it's not freezing cold. That requires no wiring. The light's going to be on all the time, but, you know, it could be the kind of thing you put the light on a timer and it clicks on, you know, whatever, 6 o'clock at night and goes until 6 in the morning because typically it'll warm up during the day. So those are a couple of options for you there on the fridge. Because I've worked with this woman so long that I will always say, are you too young to... And she'll just say, oh, I'm way too young. Even if she remembers it.
That's awesome.
So you both remember The Big Chill?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen
Ryan,
it.
Ryan, you've seen The Big Chill?
No, 83 it looks like. Quite a cast. Holy cow.
Oh, it's a really good movie. And the little side note in there, so it's a whole thing about this whole group getting together. A friend of theirs dies, and they're going to the funeral. They end up renting this house. They all went to Michigan, and so at one time they're watching the Michigan game on, you know, like a 12-inch TV in this house. But the actor that plays their friend that died, who you never see, they only speak to them. But you do, I think the movie begins with him being like at the morgue or at the funeral home, and you just sort of see his body and his hands. And it was the movie debut of an actor that would go on to become a huge Hollywood star, Kevin Costner.
No.
But you never saw him.
You just say, what is Costner doing in that movie?
He's the dead man.
Costner's the dead man. Well, yeah, okay,
but you never see him. But you never see him. This is my point. So there is a scene in the movie The Big Chill where they're all in the kitchen and they're cooking. And in the background is the music from I Know You Wanna Leave Me, but Let
I
Me Go.
Let you go.
Right. And it's this really great scene. And they're all cooking together and having a great time. I want you all to go buy a pizza maker. Because... Stay with me, Carmen. He's just laughing. So my kids, a couple years ago for my birthday, bought me one of those pizza ovens, okay? Which I was like, wow, that's such a nice gift, right? And it's got the pizza stone, and you can use it in wood. You can use gas. We use the gas, okay? And you make one pizza at a time. But my point is, at Christmas, our son and daughter-in-law and our granddaughter are in New York for the holidays. And so I've got our daughters and our son, Masi, is here, and our son-in-law, what's his name? Liam. And we all made pizzas together. And it is this communal thing in the kitchen, and everybody makes their pizza, and then you'll slide it in. It takes like 2 minutes to make the pizza, and they're so delicious. Cute. And so this is a communal, fun thing. For those of you that remember The Big Chill, it's kind of like that.
Or like pizza. Great.
I mean, if you're going to do this, what oven am I supposed to buy?
So the one that I have is called an Uni.
Yeah.
O-O-N-I.
Yep. I'm seeing it right now. The Uni Coda 12 pizza oven now available for...
How much is it?
$280 reduced on one website that I'm seeing here.
There you go.
So do you have like a buffet of toppings then?
So then what you do is what you do again, communal, like, okay, we're going to make some Italian sausage, and you sauteed spinach and some mushrooms, and you do all that in ahead of time. You put them in bowls, and they got a cutting board, and then you buy the dough. We don't make the dough. You can make the dough. You roll it out really thin, get some pizza sauce on there and some mozzarella, and it's, oh. So good. So good.
Reaching temperatures up to a massive 950 degrees.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it is so crazy. Once you get the thing to temperature and you slide the thing in, you put it in there and you're like, oh my gosh. And it cooks like in 2 seconds. And then what I do is I slide it in. I turn it 180, slide it back in because it's usually a little warmer in one end. And you come out crispy, crunchy, delicious.
How long does it take to make? But I mean, I can imagine you had a lot of pizzas to make.
I know, but it only takes literally 3 minutes to cook the pizza.
Wow.
So you take one outside, because the thing's outside, you slide it in the pizza maker, 3 minutes, you come back in, all right, I'm walking back out with another pizza, and within, you know, everybody's already organized them all, right? You're like Henry Ford, it's like an assembly line, but everybody's talking, you're having a glass of wine, you're having a beer, whatever, you're making a pizza. No, I don't want, I want to put the jardiniera on there, you know, whatever. And you put it in there, and then you slice them up, and then it's like a smorgasbord of pizzas. Oh, I want to try that one with this. And so you cut them all up.
Individual pizzas, or are these large, full-sized?
I mean, they're not, It's not. It's probably 12 inches.
Lou, I'm trying to fully follow the whole train of thought here. You watched The Big Chill recently, and then
making pizzas, it reminds me of the movie The Big Chill. Ah. In that scene where they're like, "I know you want to leave me," like that whole thing where they're dancing around, and it's Kevin. Kevin Kline.
Costner. Kline is in that. Kevin Kline. Yeah, but Costner's
dead. Glenn Close, William Hurt.
Jeff Goldblum
is in it, right? Long before he was in Wicked.
Tom Berenger,
right?
So amazing. Glenn Close.
Yeah. It's a really good movie, and I think it holds up. And it's about friendship, and it's about,
loss.
Pizza.
Yeah. Pizza.
Dead Kevin Costner.
I don't know that they're making pizza in the. I can't remember what they're making, but it's a communal thing, and it's very fun. And there's a woman that like really wants to have a baby, but she's got no one in her life, and it's a whole crazy thing. It's a good movie, I'm telling you. And making the pizzas is a lot of fun.
And a great soundtrack, I think. The soundtrack's what I remember amazing. About it. Yeah. Wow.
Well, we're doing Word of the Day.
Lou should have been in The Big Chill. That's what I'm taking away from this.
Wow, I was just a wee tied, 83.
Okay, fine. Lou should be in the modern day Big Chill. It's kind of an overlord of fun.
Right.
With the pizza maker.
It's a good movie. I'm telling you, put that on your list. That's a pick the click right there. Yeah. And get a pizza oven. Because there's other ones too, but I just think that it's a fun activity. And once you do it once, and it's a lot to clean up, you know, all that kind of stuff, but it's so fun, and the pizza's so good.
Does the oven go inside the house? Sorry.
No. You got to do this outside.
Outside. Okay, got it.
Outside. But you can do it like we did it last night or 2 nights ago.
Okay.
You're outside. You know, you're out for two. You're out for 3 minutes. You don't even have to put a jacket on.
I'm down. I love outdoors. Let's go.
Our word of the day is an adjective, and the definition is filled or well satisfied. Like you are after having pizza. Oh, no, I want to do this. The word is replete. R-E-P-L-E-T-E. I am not sure which was more replete after Christmas dinner, my heart or my belly.
It was a close tie.
Because you were filled and well satisfied.
Yeah.
Replete. R-E-P-L-E-T-E.
We got this. We got this.
Got it.
Assignment.
It's a good word. Final word of 2025.
2025.
Yeah. Ferguson said I should have played Auld Lang Syne underneath the word, you know, to kind of send it off. But, you know. I was talking about The Big Chill. 857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568. 7:19 in the morning. Sue from Bloomingdale, you hang on one quick second. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm well, now that you're calling. How can I help you?
Well, thank you. You know, you were just talking about the refrigerator in the garage.
Yep.
If I fake out the light bulb that's in there, if I put a piece of tape on the on-off, would that work the same way? You also suggested a light bulb or something like that?
No. Not the light bulb in the fridge. So the thermostat in a standard refrigerator, okay, you know, if you've got a... So you have a fridge in the freezer? Excuse me.
Right.
A fridge in the garage?
Yes.
Right. And so with the freezer on top and the fridge at the bottom?
Well, yeah, it's a French door thing.
Okay. You know. All right. So if you pull out the unit away from the wall on the back, on the bottom, there'll be like a little, it's kind of a cardboard cover where you'll see if you took it off, there'd be a compressor and a bunch of parts and pieces back there.
Right.
That's where you need to put the light bulb.
Oh, okay.
So
an LED would work?
No, an LED won't work because it doesn't give off enough heat. Yeah. So you're going to buy one of those. You know, if you go to the hardware store, there's like a clip-on light. It's got an aluminum. It's a work light. You know, it's like a traditional work light. You put a light bulb in. It's got a clip that you can hang onto a piece of metal or, you know, when you're working on something.
I have one of those.
Okay. Put a put a
60 watt, would that work?
A 60 watt halogen bulb.
Good.
Because you can't, you know, you can't buy regular incandescents anymore, but that'll give off heat. And what I would suggest to do, just to save a little money on your electric bill, but also you're going to save money by not replacing all this food you put in the garage fridge, is put it on a timer. So at, you know, 4 p.m., when, you know, it starts to really get cool at night, have the thing go on, and then at 6 in the morning or 9 in the morning, have it shut off.
That makes sense. Thank you. I know exactly where to put it. Thank you.
You take that light bulb, and I'll tell you where to put that light bulb. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568. This is Donald calling in from North Park. Hey, Donald, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you. The city put in a new water line to my house because it had cracked from the outside. So they were patching up the inside and put a little floor of concrete. But while they were mixing that product outside, it's all over my sidewalk.
Good times.
And I never got around to removing it. Any chances of me being able to get that off?
Is it spatters or is it like big sheets of concrete that they...
It's a film of concrete.
Yeah. Okay. Your best bet is to... It isn't going to bond really well. And this is the city sidewalk or your sidewalk?
It's actually on my sidewalk.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're going to want to use a pressure washer.
Okay.
And the thing is that you're going to have to, so this is what I would do. When it warms up, it's not going to matter if you wait until the spring because it really shouldn't bond that well to the concrete that was there. But I want you to first get it wet, you know, like do you own a pressure washer?
I don't, but I can probably rent one.
Okay. So get a hose and get it really wet. I want it to be really wet so it saturates that film, you know, you know, let it sit there for a little bit. Then get the pressure washer and find the balance of pulling the film off without harming the existing sidewalk. And you'll just have to play a little bit with that to see, like, if I go this close, I'm starting to damage the... you know, the main sidewalk, but if I go this close, it just takes a little bit of time and you'll get it off. And I would stay away from using, you know, there's different tips that you can put on the end of a pressure washer. I would stay with a fan tip, not the piercing tip, because the piercing tip literally will put a hole in the concrete if you're not careful.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. That's a bummer. How's the new water line? That's fine. All that's fine.
It's fine. Only first problem is that I plan to put the house on for sale soon. That's why I have to, you know, not forget about this. So I have to do it while the weather is above 32 degrees.
Because you need to plug in a hose, right, to do this. If you want to try and get it done now, yeah, as long as we're above freezing, you can try it. Sure.
Okay. And I just leave it on there long enough until I see the actual concrete again.
Correct.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yep.
Thank you, Lou. I greatly appreciate your help.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4-LOU. Let's go to, where are we going? I'm going to Iowa. I like going to Iowa. This is Jerry in Iowa. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. How may I help you?
So I have a question. I've always wondered about this, and I've had not issues, but regarding my sump pump hose. So I live in Iowa, and we need a sump pump pretty regularly. And I leave the hose on during winter, and it's cracked a couple of times because it freezes. It's about 15 feet long to get the water away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then my question is, should I put a short hose on in wintertime, like 3 or 4 feet, just to get it away from the house when it needs it? Or should I take it off completely and just let it shoot out of the side of the house?
Well, there's a couple ways to go. So there is, there's this fitting that you can buy that is, that creates like an air gap, between the pipe coming out of the house and your hose that's under the ground. Okay. And so, basically it's like, what is it called? God, I'm having a hard time saying, thinking about what these things are called. It's called an atrium grate. Just pull that out of the clear blue sky.
Okay.
So
my hose just comes off the house and lays on the ground outside.
Right, but do you have a white piece of PVC that comes out of the house?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. You're going to come out, so, and then the hose just connects to that white PVC?
Correct.
Okay.
There's like a little adapter, but, you know, it's okay. Just to get it off.
Here's what I want you to do. If you go to like a big box store, you can find this atrium grate, and you're going to put have you done any plumbing work before?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to use a Street 90. Okay. You're going to put a Street 90 means that it's got a female fitting on one side and a male fitting on the other. And you're going to put the female fitting on the pipe coming out of the house, and you're going to 90 down.
Okay.
Then that male fitting on that Street 90, you're going to stick this atrium grate on that's an inch and a half, and then it's a larger bell bottom on the bottom side of it. You'll need an adapter there with another 90 degrees, and then you'll connect your hose to that.
Okay.
If the hose freezes, the water will come and it'll pour out of this atrium grate right next to the house. Now, it's not a perfect solution, but at least it gets the water out of the house. The sump pump may run a little bit more, but the ground is frozen, so it probably isn't going to come in anyway. And that'll solve the problem once and for all.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Atrium grate. You know, I go down these rabbit holes of ice fishing shanties this time of year where I look at, there are ice fishing shanties, Lindsay, that people build that if I showed them to you and I didn't tell you it was an ice shanty, you'd think it was a fine hotel.
I believe it.
It is the craziest thing. And like they started out and you're looking at like, wow, this is like a hotel room. It's like this big screen TV and there's like a little, there's a running water. And
stop.
It's crazy. I mean,
you literally could live
out there for fishing on the ice. It's like, come on. Well, this has nothing to do with ice fishing, but it has everything to do with keeping your rear end nice and warm.
Keep those buns toasty with this weekend's new Tulu 2. Cold benches, icy bleachers, drafty patios don't stand a chance anymore. The Huga heated cushion delivers lasting warmth right where you need it most, your butt. Designed and hand-sewn in Maine, the portable cushion uses a rechargeable battery to power a slim heating element tucked inside the durable, water-resistant fabric. The result? Toasty buns that turns any cold surface into the best seat in the house. Created by outdoor enthusiasts, Huga is a cozy upgrade for sports fans, hunters, anyone who finds themselves sitting outside in the cold. With three adjustable heat settings, sustainable battery power, and even a built-in phone charging port, this clever cushion keeps you connected and comfy no matter what the weather is. The Huga heated cushion comes with a little strap, so it's super portable, and the price tag, about $120.
For more information, check out the House Smart's YouTube channel.
And be sure to like and subscribe.
Wait, isn't there some Danish word that's hygge? What was that?
Well, with there is.
Right?
That's why I was totally drawn to this. Hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, though. This is H-U-G-A. But it has the two little, like, dots above the U.
What does hygge mean in Danish? Remember?
Cozy. It was like
really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Right, didn't we? You did a rejoin once with your cousins who did like a hygge thing.
Yes, it is a vibe.
$120.
And with the phone charger, I mean, you can't really get much better than that.
That's hilarious. Then that's like a whole thing. Like, where am I going to plug this in? Plug it into your, you know what I mean? You got
totally.
Go to youtube.com/housemartstv and you can learn more about it. That's a good one. I like that one. Very nice. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. This is Sparky in Holland, Michigan. Hi, Sparky.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
Well, let's see. I've got a par 18 golf course mini golf due to a little gopher and his friend that is just having havoc with my yard and my neighbor's yard. And I've tried everything from poisons to the other homeopathic methods and even, you know, treating along for grubs and this and that and the other, yada, yada. And I even got a text from a neighbor saying, Merry Christmas, thank you for the gift of the moles. Mm. So I want to be a good neighbor.
Is it a mole or it's probably a gopher.
Well, we caught a few this last spring, and they're voles.
So oh, they're voles.
Baby little guys.
Okay.
But also I've had one star-faced mole pop his head up, and we caught him.
Mm.
But now the mounds on the yard rather than just trails through the grass. So I got a mixture of some family members. So
our daughter Carmen and now husband Liam lived in Grand Rapids for a while, and they rented a house up there. And she sent me a video, and she's like, "We think we have like a chipmunk or something," and it literally was like the gopher from Caddyshack. And she shows me this video of this enormous rodent that came out of the ground, literally looked up, looked around, and then went back in the hole. I'm like, you could put a saddle on that thing. It was so big. And voles are really tough to get rid of. So have you tried the Sonic Spike?
Yep, I've got 5 of them around the house.
Not doing a thing.
And now that the snow's cleared, they kicked back in again because I forgot to take them out before it snowed.
Oh. And did that have any effect?
I might have to get a few more because they've gotten into a couple areas where it doesn't reach.
Right.
And they've also gone into the neighbor's yard. So I might be buying some after Christmas specials.
Right. For them. Right.
Yeah.
The problem is that there's a food source somewhere in both of those lawns, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've taken care of the grub issues.
Right.
I just have very good worms because I'm trying to get some topsoil on top of my clay.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's like, do I kill the worms now?
Mm-hmm.
I got wonderful worm sign in the spring.
Okay, so do you have any pets or animals?
Used to. And we didn't have a mole problem. So I might have to get a dog. I don't know.
Right. I'm just going to offer you a bunch of solutions that may work, obviously the poisons, that's a decision you have to make if you're going to use that. You've tried Sweeney's poison peanuts?
Yes. I've tried the peanuts, the worms, and there's even some powders that are out there that I got online.
Okay. So a couple things this is, rodents are creatures of habit, and you can't use the, like the Sonic Spike where you feed them because they'll associate the sound with food. And so if you can imagine, like in your yard or your neighbor's yard, whatever you're going to do, you're going to create a barrier with the Sonic Spikes around your home. But then you're going to bring the food source to the other end of the yard, the poison peanuts.
Sure.
And you're going to draw them. They're going to stay away from the sound, and they're going to go to the food. Look, I don't want to go there. That doesn't sound good. I'm going to go over here where I can get fed, and that's the poison peanuts. Again, just to cover my rear end, that's your decision, Sparky. Then
I'm a little old school.
Right, I understand. And then you need a lawn roller. So you can rent one, but quite frankly, you probably should buy one. Because by the time you rent it and have it, because what you, once you start to see the tunnels, especially when the, you know, even now it's probably, is it, it's warmer in Holland right now, like in the 40s?
Yeah.
Right.
It's,
so that
it's about, yeah, I can mow the lawn now.
Right. And so you're going to take that lawn roller and, you know, basically it's a barrel, a smooth barrel with a handle and you can put water in it. And you're going to keep that thing on the side of the house. And the minute you see those tunnels, you're going to roll them out. Because you need to make it unattractive for them to be in your lawn. Every time I make a tunnel, it collapses again. I got to go somewhere else. And you're going to have the sonic spike, and you're going to do the peanuts, and you're literally going to be like Bill Murray and Caddyshack, and you're not going to give up until they're gone.
Oh, well, yeah, well, almost to the point where, yeah, we're going to put some gas in the ground and some some vapors in the ground and let it rip. Because grass will go back.
right. You think your neighbor's got a problem now, wait till you blow up his house.
Oh, yeah.
So just be careful. If you try that and think about having the repellents be separated from where you're feeding them and then drawing them to that, I bet you'll get this problem solved.
And I got a good spot to do that, to draw them back to. So.
Right.
All right, cool.
Appreciate you calling. Happy New Year. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. We're keeping the cold out and the comfort in. We're live from the PermaSeal Attic Insulation Studios. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you. How may I help you?
Hey, I got a question. My daughter's house, recently we changed the water heater tank, and one of the bathrooms, the water pressure is really low in the shower. And I don't know what's causing the boiler we changed. Where every place else has good water pressure except the one room.
Just the shower head? How about coming out of the...
Exactly.
Is it...
Exactly. It's using their shower head or the other stuff. It's both of them very low.
Oh, even the... So it's a tub, and the tub spout is low as well.
Exactly. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
How handy are you there, John?
I don't know. My best.
Is the shower that's having the problem, is it a single valve or two valves?
Single valve.
Okay. You need to take that cartridge out of the valve body and flush out that valve body. So my guess is when they changed out the water heater, you know, it loosens up sediment because they killed the main line. And once you drain the system down, those valves are very delicate. The ports are very small, and it just takes one little piece of debris in there. In order to do this, and you decide whether or not you want to try this or not, you got to shut the main water valve off. You got to disassemble the whole valve body and remove the insert. And then, you know, you can either peer inside there and see if you see any sediment, or you take a bucket and somebody else is downstairs where the main valve is. You hold the bucket in front of that hole in the wall and you have them turn on the valve, and it squirts and sprays everything out with nothing in the way. And then you shut it off, you put the valve body back in, and you hope that the debris and everything is gone. And then obviously there's probably debris in the shower head too, so you got to take that off and clean it as well. But the fact that you told me that it's also coming out of the spout and it's reducing the flow out of that as well. It's got to all be in that valve body.
Yeah, whole house is perfectly fine except this one.
Right.
It's like,
right. When did you have this work done?
Goodness, maybe 3 months ago.
Oh, okay.
3 months ago.
I mean, you know, if this sounds like it's too much, it might be worth having the plumber come back. I mean, 3 months later, they may charge you a service call, but they'll know exactly what to do.
Okay, I'm going to try my best. And one more thing, because I was trying to call the company that you advertised for the windows. I left them a couple messages, and they never called me back. I just curious, do you have a different phone number for them?
The Gilkey Company?
Yeah, Yes, correct. I left them like two messages.
Well, I don't like to hear that they're not calling you back. It's
me either. You know, I love to change my windows.
Yeah, 888, the number 3, Gilkey, Gilkey.
Okay, it's 2340. Got it. Yeah, I think that's what it is. 229-2340.
Is that right?
I left them a couple messages, and like I said, maybe
all right, well, if,
out of the log or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're. Did you call over the holidays? I don't know if they're closed for the holidays or all, or was it before that?
No. I was calling on last week on Monday, I believe so, and then Tuesday.
Okay.
How
about this? Why don't you hold on a second and let me get your number, and I'll make sure that somebody calls you back. And that way we for sure know that you're getting contacted by them. So don't go anywhere, and we'll get them to call you back as well. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. I've gotten a couple of text messages about the garage thing and that light bulb trick that I talked about from friends of mine that have tried that. They said it works really well. I went ahead and installed that dual thermostat just because it's kind of the right way to do it. And I suppose, you know, the whole idea, do that, you're probably spending the same on the energy bill as you would by keeping that light bulb on there. You know, a halogen bulb is more traditional where, like an incandescent bulb, using, you know, if it says it's 60 watts, it's probably using 60 watts, although halogens are more efficient, so they don't use the full wattage, meaning that they may only use 40 just because of the way the technology works. But the biggest thing is if you're going to use that light bulb, it has to create heat. And an LED bulb, as you know, it does get warm, but it's not enough warmth to trick the refrigerator thinking that it's going to work. And so if you've got a standard fridge that doesn't have that dual thermostat action, this light bulb trick behind the back of it can solve all your problems for the cost of a light bulb and a shop light. You know, it's nothing. And then you keep from, I know this happens at Mike's garage fridges, that the stuff explodes if it gets too cold as well. So we probably got to put a light bulb on that one as well.
Along the way.
I have a gurgling kitchen sink. How can I fix it?
What does it sound like?
Skip that FOMO. You can join too. Just pick up the phone.
Oh, you're the best.
Now back to Lou and House Smarts Radio.
As you know, I had the pleasure for years and years and years of working with the great Lyle Dean, and we still communicate fairly regularly over the years and over the year. And after 8 o'clock this morning, I want you to stick around because he sent me. This is something, Lindsay, you will not be able to relate to at all, and actually probably Ryan won't, and even Mark Carmen won't, but it's the Ten Commandments for Seniors. So, you know, the Ten Commandments with the holidays, you know, we're talking about all the different things, you know, you think about, you know, thou shalt not steal, and, you know, you should not, I can't think of any of the other Ten Commandments. Anyone? No?
You shall not covet, coveting, honoring your mother and father, sure.
Honoring your mother, like all this really important stuff, right? That you know, when you really, if you read them, you're like, yeah, this kind of all makes sense, you know? Moses brought those down from the mountain, right? And we should probably, you know, and then there's the famous one with, you know, the Father Guido Sarducci. You guys are probably too young to that. But he's got a whole thing, too, with some of the commandments that didn't make it after the tablets are broken, like, you know, don't stick a Q-tip all the way in your ear all the way. Just be on the outside of it, right? You got to be careful. That's one of the commandments people didn't know about. But Lyle Dean sent me the Ten Commandments for Seniors. And after 8 o'clock this morning, I'm going to read those. And I think you'll find them to be useful. And for you young guys, and Lindsay too, file these away because someday these are going to be important to you.
My friend Michelle, she's really into the vision, like her vision board of the new year. So she made me do one this year.
Oh, like create, like this is what I want to do?
Yes.
Like so in January, you want to do this. And then...
Well, just throughout the year. Like she has to read 12 books by the end of the year. Mm. And she has to put this much money in savings. Or
that's good. A vision
she,
board.
And she
like
really
that.
Abides by them. So I'm going to try it. We'll see how far I get. I'm not really like a resolution.
Carm, you got any resolutions for the New Year's? You're like...
Well, I'm thinking about stretching out my left hip a little bit more, Lou. I think I got to get to the groin area, to be honest, to truly...
Right, because in your tennis game, you're having a hard time with the backhand, right?
Yeah, well, the backhand actually is pretty solid, but just overall flexibility is what we're looking for here, Lou. Outside of that, you know, perhaps... Just enjoy every day with the at least for 10 seconds a day. How's that? Like just be
that's good.
You know, like
10 seconds of enjoyment,
pure joy. You know,
right.
Jump up and down, something like that.
Ryan, I'm sure one of the things is your daughter making a decision on where she's going to school.
Yep, and personally, I'd like to win the Heisman Trophy this year.
Okay, you might be a little too old for that, you
set
don't
goals.
Play a college sport.
I set goals.
Right. Okay,
I try to achieve
good.
Them.
Good. You know, Carm, I got to tell you, the stretching thing is very important. I think you should really work on that because that's something I do 2-3 times a week. Very good about stretching.
Super important. I was in the sauna yesterday, Lou, and I won't talk about sauna etiquette and the fact that,
understand the saunas now are the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big trend. Everybody wants a sauna.
Well, and I don't have that type of dough, so I got to go, public sauna, and I just would appreciate if everybody that comes into the public sauna would, cover themselves and respect the public sauna. But regardless of that, you can get loose in there. That's a good, it's an extra stretching situation.
Can I make a suggestion with your current suggestions for this
sure.
year? Is that maybe
sure.
I think that Mark should grow a man bun. I think that would go well with stretching. He can grow his hair long. We talked about how glorious his hair is already. Get a man bun going, pile it up on top of the hair. Get some stretches. We'll get him some.
What's the view on the man bun?
Some beads.
Are we talking about like a beehive situation?
Well, I feel like you're going to be a loose Mark Carmen. You're kind of going to, I don't know. I think that could be your vibe.
A good head of hair.
Yeah.
You're going to grow it out and then you're going to put it in a bun.
Put it in the bun on top of your head and you can lead us all in some stretches.
Right.
That
does fit. But you could then lead beach yoga. Like that's
see,
right.
Then there's your 10 seconds a day.
I would punch that ticket. Carm, media career over. What are you going to do? I got an opportunity for you.
Beach yoga.
Right. Punta Cana.
The first part of it is you're living on a beach, so that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean that wouldn't necessarily go over super well on the home front, but I think
you're growing the hair out. That wouldn't be a problem.
People travel for work. Why can't I do that like during the week? Come home on the weekends. There we go.
All right, I've got my 10 commandments for seniors that Lyle Dean sent me that I think that those listening will be able to relate. Many people listening, you, Lindsay, of course, will never be able to relate to this,
true.
Ryan, or even Mark Carmen. But these are the 10 commandments for seniors that you should listen to. Number one is talk to yourself. There are times when you need expert advice. That's the first commandment. Number two is in style, in quotes. Are the clothes that still fit? Number three is you don't need anger management. You need people to stop irritating you. That is a good one for sure. Number four is your people skills are just fine. It's your tolerance for idiots that needs work.
Okay.
Got it.
Right?
I can relate.
Number five is the biggest lie you tell yourself is, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember it.
$1 million ideas. We've all got them, right?
Right. Number six is on time is when you get there. That's number six. These are 10 commandments for seniors. Number seven is you've noticed people your age are much older than you. That's when you know it's a senior, one of the 10 commandments. Number eight is aging has slowed you down, but it hasn't shut you up. That's a good one for seniors. Number nine, you still haven't learned to act your age, and I hope you never will. And finally, the 10th commandment for seniors is one for the road. I'm going to edit this one. means using the bathroom before you leave the house.
That's awesome.
When we were talking about the Big Chill, I did feel kind of young. This kind of makes me, I relate to all of those.
Well, they're pretty good. That's from our dear friend, the skipper, Lyle Dean. 857-5574, Lou is our phone number, 857-557-4568. It's 8:17 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and we'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
Hey, Lou, how's it going?
It's going great. What's going on?
Okay, you talk about mini blitz all the time.
I do.
I got one problem. My son-in-law lives in Sycamore. He bought four of them. The problem is I can't get no one to install them unless you buy them from them. So we've had these mini splits for 3 years now.
So he bought them. They're not pre-charged.
I don't know about that. Everyone I talked to, they said they won't install them unless you buy them from them.
Well, I would think that you'd be able to find somebody to be able to do that. Okay, so there's a couple things. If he bought units that are not pre-charged, right? The installation of them all. Tell me about where he wants to install them.
One in the family room, one upstairs, in the hallway, in a bedroom. They don't have any furnace, so it's all baseboard, heat that's super expensive.
Got it. Okay. I mean, I got to imagine you could have someone, you know, the biggest issue is that it seems crazy that you wouldn't get somebody to do the labor and just give you no warranty on the equipment. You know, in other words, hey, I'll install it, I'll soak it all up, but if there's a problem with the piece of equipment, that's not my problem. You know what I mean? And because you need someone to add the refrigerant and run the line sets, so they have to be licensed in the state of Illinois to do that, which you're going to obviously pay for all of that as well.
They live in Sycamore,
right,
Illinois.
Right.
I've called a bunch of plumbing, heating places, and they all say, well, if you don't buy it from us, we won't install it. Because they're worried about something, responsibility, and I try to tell everyone, hey, just please put it in.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you try this? So there's a couple of different HVAC training centers in the Chicagoland area where they train HVAC technicians, you know, on all this kind of stuff. And it could be an interesting opportunity to train somebody to put this stuff in with students under the guise of an instructor.
That sounds great.
And so I believe there's one out by you, like out by where your son is in Sycamore, kind of on the way. I can't think of the names of them, but there's like two or three of them in the area. And if you look for HVAC schools and say, look, this is what I got, can I, you know, pay to put these things in and have it be a teaching experience for some students, I think you could probably do something like that.
Okay, that sounds great.
Try that.
It's been 3 years.
Yeah, right.
No.
Right. They're amazing once they go in. You just got to find somebody to put them in. There's got to be some small HVAC guy that's like two or three guys in a truck that have knowledge that are just starting out that'd be willing to do it. But I would try the HVAC schools and see how you do there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lou.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you calling this morning. They're also, just so you know, I mean, I talk about the Mitsubishi systems, and those are obviously installed by professional contractors. But for those of you that are, you know, confident in your skills, there are do-it-yourself kits out there that you can buy in this world where the line set, you know, the actual copper that is connecting everything together is pre-charged. So you can install the cassette unit, you run the wiring. It's involved. I've done it a couple times now. And those systems don't require a license for the refrigerant because they're pre-charged. Now, there's a lot of arguments about, you know, well, it's not the same as having it professionally installed. And that's true. It's not. And it's also not for everyone that can do that. So, you know, if you're ever going to buy one of these systems, make sure that they're pre-charged and, you know, kind of look at it like, I'm going to do this myself. And you can if you have the patience and the skill set to do it. 857-5574-LOU is the number. This is Mary in Indiana. Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I want to say happy Christmas and a happy, healthy new year for you and your entire family and all you love. And I had a gentleman called in a couple of weeks ago, and he had a problem with mice. And now I've got the problem with mice only tenfold.
Oh.
Plus, there's another little guy that's coming in with them, too. And the thing is, my daughter has to shop for me. I'm incapacitated. And I think she leaves the garage door open when she's bringing the groceries in, and I think that's how I got the influx.
Okay.
But anyway, you said there was a flower scent that the mice don't like. Do you remember what it is?
Yeah, so...
Because I don't.
Yeah, it's not a flower. It's a... So there's a product that you can buy called two different makers, Mouse Magic or Fresh Cab, FreshCab, that is a sachet of a kind of a minty, almost a wintry smell, which is nice. You'll smell it, go, wow, this is great, but mice don't like it. So it's a repellent that you would use indoors to repel the mice or rodents that are inside. And the trick is...
And what is it called?
Well, one is called Mouse Magic.
Mouse Magic. Okay.
The other one is called Fresh Cab. Each one Fresh of them, Cab. They have these sachets that are pre-mixed, and they're, you know, little packets that you'll place in certain areas. And they'll last up to 30 days. And if you're going to use those indoors and you're going to do any kind of baiting outdoors, you don't want to mix the two. You want to repel from the house and you want to bait them on the outside. Now, there's all kinds of different options when it comes to bait now. In the past, it was a bait that would actually ultimately kill the mice and the rats. You know, it's a poison. But if you have animals or you're worried about not wanting to,
right,
you know, kill the creatures, there's now a birth control, which sounds crazy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right, but it's called Evolve, and it's very good, and it's very effective. And so, you know, the idea behind it is that two mice, you know, can have sire up to 15,000 offspring in a year. And so...
How many?
15,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, so...
And they're all in my house.
Well, hopefully they're not. But the point is that if they're given birth control, they can't, you know, procreate.
Really?
And the average life... The average... Well, they won't even know the difference. They'll still be having fun. They just won't be making anything. Anyway, the average life of a mouse or a rodent is about 6 weeks, you know?
Really?
Well, they die for a myriad of reasons. And so if you can stop them from making more, you can ultimately solve the issue without having to kill the mice using poison and then also run the risk you know, if you have animals that you're worried about eating the the poison.
Right. But you know what? I have another question. I have another critter now coming in. It's just a little bigger than the mouse, and it's like a beige color. And I thought, now, where did you come from? Are you I hiked on somebody else's back coming in? And that just happened this past week.
Well,
so,
The repellent should help with that. If it's, maybe it's a gopher or maybe it's a mole or a vole. But,
oh, no, it's tiny.
Oh, tiny.
Tinier okay. than a, tinier than the mouse.
Okay. Well,
I'm going by the droppings, you know,
I see.
And the mouse is dark
and this
thing is tan.
Right. Well, I think that if you try this combination of the two things that I just spoke of, I think you should have pretty good success. Remember, where you use the repellent, don't use the bait. You want to draw them, you want to push them away to the baiting so they don't associate the two things together. And if you stay at it for a week or two, you should be able to solve the problem and also close up the spots where you think they're coming in. Keep the garage door closed. But remember, a mouse can get into something as small, a hole as small as a dime. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:30 in the morning. When we come back, we're going to talk to some people from an organization called Humble Design, doing amazing work in the Chicagoland area. I think you'll find it to be very interesting. Thanks, Lisa. Tune into the Workers' Mic, heard here every Sunday morning at 8, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Voya Financial. The Workers' Mic features Ken Edwards and Ed Maher from the National Coalition of Labor, plus Phil Davidson from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. The show welcomes union leaders, labor partners, and workers to discuss issues affecting the American workforce. Be sure to check out the Workers' Mic every Sunday morning at 8 right here on 720 WGN. Workers, stay informed.
You're tuned into Lou.
I did some research on a tankless water heater. I was told that there's a minimum water pressure.
If you've got a question, now's the time to call.
And I may not have enough pressure. I was wondering if there is a pressure device that I can check the pressure myself.
No pressure.
Look at me, I'm like a scientist.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Fire up the Bunsen burner and get to work.
And House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Ron in Indiana. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, this is Ron.
Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning. Lou, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you very much.
And I have a quick question that we've been in this house for 22 years. We built it. And about 3 months ago, all of a sudden, my sump pump continued a clear water coming in, like you would turn on your faucet and just let it run.
Mm-hmm.
The water came in at a steady flow, sub pump worked, kicked it out. I timed it. It's always in that 33 minutes it kicks it out. So I called the town. They came out immediately. I appreciated their quick response.
Sure.
They turned the water off at the Buffalo Box, and they checked the water, and the water was not chlorinated at all, okay? All around the house, we checked. I maintain my yard. You know, I'm proud of my yard. Clear all the way around the house.
Okay.
No water puddles or anything. Basement is clear. And so they said it. My water bill's not higher. Nothing like that. So I called a couple buddies of mine that worked. They retired, but they did heavy construction, building and stuff. And they're looking at it, and they're saying, well, your drain tile is doing its job. But I said, it's just changed all of a sudden. And this steady flow continues to come in, and I can't – it just puzzles me. Who do I call? What do I do? everything's working fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling me the water table might have changed.
Right.
It's been in a community, Mike. No building's been in my area for 20 years, okay? So it's not like someone changed
I mean, you know, when you think about, think about aquifers and things like that, they can move and shift and change, and it can even be due to construction that's miles away that had sure it can. Now here's what I would do. So even now today, every 30 minutes this thing kicks off.
Yes right. Yeah,
so
like clockwork.
So when you've got time the next time, yeah, it kicks off, go down there, take the lid off of the sump pump, and unplug the sump pump. And
okay,
then see where the water level goes to. And if the table has changed and that water level, say, is a good 12 inches below the top of the sump pump pit, which I bet it'll be more than that.
Yeah.
Change the depth of either your float or your pump. So the pit holds more water.
Okay.
And then the sump pump's not running, yeah, as often, right?
Okay. Change the depth. Okay.
Does your sump pump, is the switch integrated, or is it a float switch that's tied to the pipe that, you know, raises up and down?
Raises up and down.
Yeah. So you can probably leave the pump where it's at and just raise the switch.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You know, and I'm the type that has I have a backup sump pump system ready to go.
Right.
I even have an extra sump pump in a box that if something happens, if I'm here,
right.
You know, if it goes out.
If you're going to do this, you know, trick that I'm talking about,
yeah,
you're going to have to also modify the float on
backup.
The backup as well.
Yeah, right. But the steady flow, is that? So if that changes, the water levels changed. So that's a steady flow. Like it's just not faster, not slower. It's just a steady flow of coming in. Clear it can be, no smell,
Right. And non-chlorinated. So the city.
Non-chlorinated.
So it's definitely groundwater. And it's, where are you in Indiana? What part of Indiana?
In Munster. It's
okay.
A town that's been established.
Yeah. And so what is the soil like in Munster?
Originally this was a farm for years, for mm-hmm. probably 100 years.
Right.
And so it was the soil, and I really don't have the heavy clay like some areas in northwest Indiana.
Right.
It doesn't really necessarily sit. It does, go down into the... It drains good, you know. I don't have
and like issues. Around you, you know. Obviously, like you said, Munster's been around a long time. But is there any construction or road construction that happened a few miles away? You know, over the last few years,
they're always doing something. You know, upgrades. Yeah, right. Always doing something, upgrading for good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you know, I didn't realize that it could be a distance away. You know,
right.
I thought it was just be local, right nearby in my neighborhood, nothing's changed in the neighborhood.
If you think about, like when they dig wells and whatnot, right? There's aquifers that are under the water, under the ground,
right?
Very deep, and
right.
You know, that's ultimately if you were going to put a well that they would tap into. You know, it's not like a big, it's not like they find a big hole in the ground that's full of water. It's an aquifer that they tap into. So now. If you can imagine a few miles away, they dig a new road or they replace a road and they move a bunch of gravel. And now maybe I've upset that aquifer a little bit, you know, where I'm holding it back a little bit. It's not draining like it used to by the road. Well, now it's backing up. And you know, I'm just using a theory here, but you've got this farmland that it was a farm for 100 years. So that was well-drained soil. Well, this is the path of least resistance. And oh, by the way, you got a foundation. You put a boat in the ground, and it's got a hole in it called a sump pump. And I'm going to have you take this water and move it. So, I think if you just adjust that pump level, you'll hold more water in the pump in the pit, but that's not a big deal.
Right. So the neighbors they didn't see any difference. So maybe they had their level different in their sump pump, and they're not seeing the difference that I'm seeing.
And
probably.
And it can be, and as crazy as it sounds, that aquifer, you know, in the theory of the aquifer, it could be under your house and not under theirs.
Okay. Well, right? Oh, well, that's interesting. Okay,
right?
Yeah. Right. That's very interesting. Right.
It's kind of the
well,
same.
Thank you,
yeah,
Lou.
I appreciate it. It's the same thing when people talk about radon, different levels of radon, which, you know, is a thing you do need to be concerned with. And you can be in a neighborhood and you can have a house with really high radon and your next door neighbor has nothing. And you're like, how can that be? I'm 50 feet away, 100 feet away. But it's just the way the topography of the soil and the makeup of the soil matters. And that kind of thing that you're describing, Ron, it can happen to a lot of people. Very interesting how that can all lay out. You just have to, you know, solve the problem. You can solve it, definitely. This is Dan in Naperville. Hey, Dan, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Morning, Lou. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How may I help you?
It's a toilet problem or a toilet issue. It's a Kohler toilet from 13 years ago. And the filter, which has been working fine up until recently, now decides to come off when you press the handle down. A little, like a round plasticky thing pops up and that hits the fill tube, which knocks it out of position. Then we're going to fix that so the fill tube, or it goes into the valve, I guess. I got to get that fixed.
The fill tube goes into the overflow pipe.
That is correct.
Right. And so now, and when you're flushing the toilet, it's kicking the fill tube out?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it kicks off the top of the fill tube's attached to a little thing that goes into the
overflow pipe.
It's
not taking the fill tube off of the actual fill valve, correct?
No, that is correct. It is not.
Okay. They do sell new clips, but what I could tell you, the easiest thing to do is to remove that fill tube, buy a new fill tube that's longer.
Okay. All right.
And they sell them, and you're going to connect it to the fill tube and just shove it into that overflow pipe so that it extends down into the pipe, you know, 2 inches, three inches,
far enough
that it can't come out.
Right.
And that'll be the easiest way to solve the problem, and you won't have any issues with it popping out again. I appreciate the phone call. Have a question? Call us, and you could win. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. So New Year's coming up this weekend. So we will be together with some family and friends on the holidays, New Year's Eve, which will be very nice. And we'll have our granddaughter and son and daughter-in-law with us, as well as some of our kids as well. What are the plans in the Burrow family for New Year's Eve?
Well, Dad's going to be sleeping. I want to be the voice that wakes everyone up on New Year's morning. So get your news, content, and information on New Year's morning right here.
Wow. All right. Well, that's good. Will you be doing a recap?
Sure. I'll do the firework sounds in the background. Boom, boom, boom. This is what it sounded like last night.
Right,
you were unable
to
stay up till midnight. Someone record that.
Oh, my gosh. Carm, what about you?
We'll be going to the Schlagalags, Lou. It's going to be a hootenanny. And, you know, I had us out of town. We were going to do the Granite Peak Wausau thing, but, you know, that just...
Plans fell through?
Fell on deaf ears. It was, you know, booked and all, but I had to cancel it out today. Cancel it out!
Wow.
But we're doing the...
But you're not bitter.
I don't feel bad for you. I feel bad for the people of Wausau who aren't going to be able to see you now.
Thank you, thank you. But no, the Schlagalags is going to be outstanding. They do a great job over there.
Very nice. What's the Smithwick plan for the New Year's?
Well, we don't know yet. We might be crashing your party.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Are you having one?
That might happen as well.
I
mentioned a couple weeks ago, and this is you know, we took all these home videos that we've had in a box forever that, you know, back when my kids were little, our kids were little, we had video cameras. And I think that over probably the 20-year span, we had 3 different video cameras that all used different types of videotapes. So then now we have no way to play them. And now, you know, Ryan, Mark, Lindsay, myself, it's all on your phone and you can record a video at any given moment. You know, you can... Breaking news you can do on your phone.
So we went to this digital place and they did it all, and it was expensive, but it now we have them all digitally. So over the holidays, we've been watching these. You know, so my son is 32 years old, and we're watching him when he was one, right? And all the births, I was the guy in the video camera after the children were born with the video camera in the hospital. Oh, there's the nurse washing the baby, you know, like that. Hey, what's your name? Oh, Mary. You know, like I'm and talking to them about their roof. Like the one doctor I was delivering the baby. She was like literally delivering, I think Carmen. And she's going, you know, I really need a new roof. And I'm talking to her about the roof. It's like, could we focus on the baby, please?
So digitally put onto what then? Is it that's not a disc anymore, right?
They gave me a flash drive.
Okay.
Then I took the flash drive and I put it in my photos on my computer, and it's all part of my iCloud. So now they're all on my phone, and I can just cast them onto the TV to watch them.
Very cool.
But one of the videos that popped up yesterday, which I found very interesting and very kind of going with what I do for on the radio here on Saturdays, was we lived in Edgebrook, and we had this beautiful lived in this beautiful Georgian house that I renovated over, you know, several years. New kitchen, an addition, a primary bathroom with a hot tub and a shower, or, you know, a jacuzzi tub and everything. And it was just a fabulous house. But we had just literally completed the work, everything maybe within 6 months prior to this video. And Mary Beth, my wife, reminded me that now we had four children. So we had three in one bedroom and an infant it was a three bedroom house, an infant in the, you know, the baby's room. And then Mary Beth and I in our primary bedroom that I just done the bathroom. And she took a video of the whole house to be able to show to our son Massimo, who was the infant, to say, this is where you were born and where you lived, but you'll never remember this house. And she went room by room and is showing all the work. Here's your dad made this new bathroom, and look at this beautiful shower, and here's this nice kitchen. And I'm watching this video going, why did we move? Like, why? We had just finished. It was all done. And Mary Beth goes, because you found this house. We ended up moving to Sauganash, which was the next community over, to a bigger house that needed a ton of work. And then, like, the next video, it cuts to, after this beautiful house all done, to this house that's dark and always going to, tomorrow we're going to tear all this, you know, like this whole crazy thing. And I almost was having a panic attack thinking to myself, I must have been crazy to do this. Wow. And how fast it all happened. Nuts.
So did the kids remember, obviously not the infant, but did the kids remember the old house?
My oldest son wasn't here, but our daughter Carmen, who at the time was, you know, 4 or 5, has vivid memories of the house. And the other funny thing about it is parents of the year, like, as so our daughter Mallory, so this would have been, let's see, Mallory's like 2 and a half. She's just sitting on the counter in the island, sitting there with the juice, and Mary Beth's walking around going, and there's Mallory, just sit on the counter, with her legs hanging over. And then at one point she turns in the dining room, and there's Massimo, the infant, in a pack and play in the dining room asleep. And there's Max, and she's walking around with the camera. It was different back then. Rub some dirt on it, you kids. You'll be fine.
Walk it off.
Oh, my God.
That's so cool, though.
That kind of stuff is so good for your brain. You know what I mean? To see all that. And so it's a lot of fun. If you've got those old videotapes sitting in a box, I'm telling you, it is worth the expense.
So fun, yeah.
I mean,
it's great.
Just so fun. So fun. 857-5574 Lou, our first caller at 9 o'clock with a call. I think that's you, George. Hey, George, you're our big winner. You're going to win your choice of a Mr. Floor cleaning product: wood floor, cabinetry, countertop, tile, natural stone, or vinyl floor. Mr. Floor's products have been cleaning up Chicagoland for over 35 years. Get 20% off at MrFloor.com with promo code HOUSESMARTS. How may I help you, sir?
Oh, thank you very much. Hi, Lou. How you doing?
Good.
We have a relatively new house, a couple years old, that we built up in Spring Grove. And at night, when the heat comes on, you know, we hear some banging, as if the maybe the ductwork is expanding when it heats and then contracts when it cools. And, you know, it's not
super annoying, and during the day you don't even notice it. Mm-hmm. But at night, when you're trying to sleep, you'll hear it once in a while from the basement downstairs. Any thoughts about what we could do to mitigate that?
All right, two questions. Have you paid attention? Does the furnace kick on and then the banging is delayed, or is it right when the furnace kicks on?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish I knew the answer to it. Based on what I just said, I assume it takes a while to heat up the ductwork for it to, you know, make the noise. But that is something I definitely need to check.
All right. So the reason I bring that up is we had a call earlier this morning with a similar concern. And if that sound is immediate, like right when the furnace kicks on, you're like, oh, I hear this banging. You know, if you can, is your furnace in a basement? Is it finished, unfinished?
Right. Unfinished basement.
Yeah. So, you know, take your radio down there and sit down there and wait for the thing to kick on and see. Because it does it all the time, right? You just say you don't really notice it during the day.
Right, exactly. And it's not super annoying.
No, I know. That would drive me crazy personally, because I would never not focus on it. So my point is this: if the sound is right when the system kicks on and you feel that knocking, that is something within the furnace that needs to be looked at and adjusted.
Okay.
Now if it's delayed, where it's like, okay, now the ductwork heats up and there's some piece of metal that is, you know, expanding, and there's something in the way that the metal was bent that's causing this, it will be really difficult to find the exact location of this. But if you can get close, okay, so in your so let's say you're down there and like, oh, I'm down here and it's right over there. That's where I heard it. Go over and with your hand, the ductwork is exposed, right?
Right.
Push on the metal and see, like, oh, this is kind of loose. I can feel that this is kind of loose. And what you can do to test this theory is there any construction material left after the building of this house?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay. Is there like a 2x4 or a 2x2 that you could take and kind of push up on the ductwork and kind of wedge it there to bend the metal, right? To kind of just a little bit, just enough to take that out, and then see what happens. And then if like, oh my gosh, I just solved the problem, well, then you'll figure out a way to maybe put a board underneath the floor joist and slide a shim or something in there, so you're not walking into this 2x4 standing in the middle of the room.
Good point.
That makes sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'll try that.
All right, do me a favor. Don't hang up because I want to get your information so that we can put you get you that Mr. Floor stuff. 857-5574. Lou, you're listening to House Smarts Radio, 9:22 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Mom. Where did you come up with Creed? You're my show tune in Top 40.
Come, I'm full of surprises, Lou.
I appreciate it, Lindsay.
Stick with me.
I like it.
Thank you.
Ryan Burr loves the Creed. 857-5574, Lou. 857-5574-568 is our number. This is Kathy in Hoffman Estates.
Hi, Lou.
Hi.
I was just listening to you talk to the gentleman about the noise when the furnace starts.
Okay.
I'm in a townhouse, half garage, half finished basement. Our furnace makes that noise when it shuts off, and it's quite loud. And my furnace guy, I had him come out, and I told him, he's like, oh, that's just the venting, and does nothing. Now, I did hear you say, right.
It's just the venting, lady.
Yeah, I never noticed it in the years I've been here. I've been here 25 years. So you had mentioned something needs to be done to the furnace unit. Can you give me any idea what I can throw at him to check?
Well, okay. So you just said that the furnace shuts off.
Yeah.
And then the banging sound is delayed, or is it almost immediate?
Right. You know, the furnace is running, and then all of a sudden it stops because it's reached temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear a boom. And it's pretty loud.
Hmm.
doesn't wake me up, but.
Well,
I mean,
the thing is, the vent, so it could be a couple things.
Yeah.
If it's an immediate banging, and I'm just going with what the furnace guy said, oh, it's just the venting. There could be something with the cold air return that there's not enough backflow or intake that when it shuts off, so when it's, I'm foreshadowing here, like that this is what I'm thinking it's doing, right?
Sure.
The unit is running. So the, you know, a furnace does two things. It blows and it sucks, right?
Yeah.
And so if it's restricted in its sucking, right? Then it could be pulling the metal, the ductwork in. And then when you, when the furnace shuts off, it stops and it releases the ductwork. So here's what I want. Now, let me ask you this. Does it do it all the time?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got the furnace running right now. I want, and you said you're in a townhome. So where is the furnace? In like a closet?
Yes, downstairs, finished side of the townhouse. You open the door and there's like a storage unit.
Okay.
And it's in there.
When you get off the radio or when you get off the phone with me, I want you to go downstairs and I want you to pull the furnace filter out.
Yes.
And I want you to let the unit run and cycle a couple times and tell me if the pounding goes away. Or you're not going to tell me.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to tell me, but you're like, I took the filter out and it doesn't bang.
Now
we know that the sucking is not, it's not free. And now when your furnace guy comes back and says, hey, genius, when I took this out, I need the cold air return to be increased, or another, it might mean that you got to add another 6-inch pipe somewhere to add a little bit more of airflow into the system. Now, if what I just said doesn't work and it's still banging, then it could still be an issue with the ductwork somewhere that we got to find out where that metal is flexing, and that's when I talked to the gentleman about putting a piece of wood or something to bend the metal so it doesn't make that sound. But I have a pretty good feeling that if you try this little test, it's not going to make a sound.
Okay, cool. One more part about this. Would it have anything to do with, you know, in the summer we turn that knob and it changes the airflow up and down? What is that called?
You mean for the humidifier?
No. It's like a lug nut.
It's a damper.
Probably.
Yeah, but it's a damper. It's a damper for your humidifier that you close it in the summer. Well, you could try that too, because that would increase the airflow. It should be open now.
Yes. Yeah. My son goes down there in the summer and changes it, and then in the winter, because it helps. We're in a townhouse, you know, three levels. It helps the heat go up.
Well,
more.
Why don't you try this?
All right.
If you try the filter thing and it doesn't work, then open that damper. Try that damper and see if that makes a difference.
Okay. Cool. Oh, thank you, Lou.
How you doing over there? How's our Christmas girl? You ready? You said earlier this morning, mommy's tired.
Mommy's
tired. Right? It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I love every second of it, but my Lord, I call my mom every Christmas morning and say, thank you for all you did for us. I didn't appreciate it growing up, and I'm sorry.
No, they won't. It's funny because now, you know, our kids are adults now, and I think that they're recognizing it too, you know. It's fun. It is fun, and it is fun. It's a joy, and then, you know, what's fun, I mean, you've got a long way to go here, but now as a grandchild, right, it's all about... We've been watching these movies, and our son Quinn was the first one in that family. And so the first couple of Christmas, it's all about him, right? They're all like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Sure.
And now it's exactly what we're doing with Mia as well, which is so fun. So fun. So how about some text messages from our listeners?
How about it? Well, first off, I have gotten, or you have gotten, 100 messages and calls about the Ten Commandments. I've posted it on your Facebook page, so check it out if you want that.
All right, good.
Also, can I plug your digital thing video that you were talking about? Because you've gotten a lot about that as well.
Oh,
where
yeah.
you got them done.
Sure.
The digital convert.
Well, right, in Skokie. I'll tell you. Right. I have no connection to this. I just found this guy. But they did a nice job called the Digital Convert in Skokie.
Yeah.
And I took the box of stuff in there. It isn't, it takes a while, but, you know, I remember when he was like, you know, we're really backed up. Are you in a hurry? And I go, they've been sitting in a box for 20 years.
Right.
I can wait a few more months. So, but it's been unbelievably satisfying. And it's, I mean, my wife lost her mother at a very young age. And, you know, there are videos of there to see my mother-in-law talking with our, you know, the kids that we had at the time. And it's just beautiful. It's really beautiful to see her. And my mom and dad are in it as well, which is, you know, very fun. So I highly recommend it.
Like, I wonder years from now what we're going to be doing to get the videos off of our iPhones or whatever we have.
Well, I mean, for you and this generation, I mean, it's so much more the cloud, and it exists. And the other thing, too, this is the interesting thing, too, about it. And I don't know that Mary Beth knew she was doing this. But, you know, now when you take a video, everything's time stamped. Right. And you can search like, oh, what I took this video in 2022 and, you know, you can find it. Every time the camera, we turn the video camera on, and you know, it's weird. It's like you're at a piano recital for Carmen, and then the next one, you're at the beach. You know what I mean? Like that it's months later because you didn't bring the camera everywhere. Now your camera's in your pocket or your purse. And every time we would turn on the video, and in particular when Mary Beth was holding it, or if I was, she'd be like, it's June 2nd, 1994, and we're at blah, blah, blah's house for this. And so she says that. And so you're like, oh my gosh, that's right. We were here. And almost every time the video camera turns on, she says that, which is amazing.
Smart. And I've noticed in our home videos that we've watched that the videos are longer, right? Like the ones that I have on my phone, it's all 15 seconds of a quick bit. But like my dad would tape for 10 minutes, and half the time you've got to fast forward. But it's also nice to just be in that moment again for 10 minutes and kind of, I just think it's interesting how things change.
It's so much longer. And then there's plenty of videos where people, because the technology was fairly new, and you know the quality of the cameras are not like they are in the phone that's in your pocket, and you'll be taking a video, and then the camera gets set down. There's one video at a birthday party, and it gets set down in front of a piece of cake, and it's still on. I mean, it is a beautiful cake, and
I mean,
you're hearing all the audio. You're hearing all the audio, but it's just looking at a piece of cake for 10 minutes. It's just running. Anyway, let's text me.
All right, we can do that. Let's see. Lou, we have a Moen faucet that is a single handle twist and turn to adjust water temp. It's plastic, and there seems to be black mold underneath. How can we clean it?
Oh, it's, yeah. Can I tell you, you can buy a new, it's probably a teardrop knob. You can just buy a new teardrop knob. The cover plate does pop off, and that whole teardrop comes out, and you could spray like concrobia. Actually, you could spray bleach because it's non-porous and let it soak in there and then use an old toothbrush to clean it. But you can also buy a new teardrop handle. And if you go to the hardware store, it won't be a Moen brand, but it'll be, well, I shouldn't say it won't be. They may have the Moen brand, but they'll have an off brand that looks exactly the same. And you can pop that thing on and it'll be clean as a whistle.
Clean as a whistle. When I turn on heat, there is a sour, moldy smell. What could it be? The HVAC tech recommended air purifier and UV light. Will this solve the smell?
Well, there could be a myriad of issues causing that. There could be bacteria on the A coil, which would require them to open up some ductwork and spray a cleaner on there. It could be some mold or mildew in the furnace box itself that could need to be opened up. I would do some cleaning before I went the route of UV lights and air purifiers. All of those things are good, but I think that probably some cleaning first. Talk to your HVAC person about what about that bacteria on the A-coil? Can you clean that? And there also could be in the, so in the bottom of the A-coil, there's something called a drip pan, condensation pan that takes the condensation out. That could have bacteria in it, and that's where the odor could be coming from as well.
Great. Yummy. Mm-hmm. Lou, I have a 20-year-old gas dryer that buzzes. Is it worth trying to fix, or should I just bite the bullet and replace it and the washer, which is the same age?
How old?
20 years.
I mean, you got your money's worth out of it. If you're not going anywhere and you would like, if you hire a technician to come out and do that, the service call will probably be anywhere from $100 to $200, then the parts. And so let's say you're going to fix the whole thing for $300 and you're going to have a 20-year-old washer that you just spent $300 on. A new gas dryer installed is probably $700. You just have to decide what you want to, you know, how long you want to go. You can fix it for three's not seven, and they'll probably fix it. But then in a couple of years from now, you may be replacing it as well. So if you want to buy yourself a little time and the budget allows it, then fix it and then wait. That would be my recommendation. All right, that's our Just Text Me segment. Hey, how about this? We got some calls lined up, but the seventh caller to 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 will win a Mr. Fix-It hat, limited edition Mr. Fix-It hat, sponsored by Lindholm Roofing, the company I recommend for all your roofing, siding, and tuck pointing needs. Seventh caller, 857-557-4LOU. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Speak with Steve and Carrie. Hi, Steve. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou, how you doing today?
I'm good. What's going on?
I got a question. A few weeks ago, you were talking about the ice dams in the gutter, and one solution was put calcium chloride in a pantyhose.
Yes.
And set it in a gutter. Now,
you're not getting that kind of radio anywhere else up and down the dial, just so you know.
Okay. Gotcha. But the a few weeks ago, I did buy a 50-pound bag of calcium chloride with magnesium in there.
Okay.
And is that advice to put in the gutter?
Yeah, both of those.
I'm just afraid we got newer gutters, and I don't want to start corroding them.
No, it's not going to. It won't harm it. You know, this isn't a long-term solution, but it's a great way to eliminate the problem. You know, is this a consistent problem for you?
Now on my north side, I do have, you know, the electric coils that I put in the gutter, and that works well. But on the south side, that's where it does build up a little bit. I know the reason for it, but I'm not going to alleviate that problem right now. But,
okay. So this is what I would do. I would take it and not lay it in the gutter, but lay it just above the gutter on the roof line.
Okay. How does that? We just had, you know, a lot of hail damage here throughout, you know, like September and that. We just got a new roof, new siding, and gutters. So, you know, I just don't want to deteriorate anything.
You'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
So do you usually put it at the higher end of the gutter, and which will drain down and run down the gutter then?
Is it the whole gutter that has the issue, or is it a certain spot?
Pretty much the whole issue. I mean, everybody around this area, they had problems where the gutters were just filled with ice, you know, and the ice
dams were building up. Yeah, now I mentioned this earlier this morning that, you know, the snow and ice that we had a few weeks ago, everybody had that problem, and that was more of an atmosphere issue. So that was more of like we got all the snow and then the cold, and, you know, the gutters probably still had leaves in them, so it was like this perfect storm for ice damming.
Yeah.
And so the issue is, other than that perfect storm, if you have issues in one spot, that's where you're going to do the pantyhose trick with the calcium chloride.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't have much of a pitch anyways on our top roof. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem also.
Right. It can be.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Other than that,
the other thing I do,
I do go up on the roof, and I will shovel like 4 feet from the gutter up just to clear that whole area off. I think that does help it also.
That does, but you may want to save yourself from falling off the roof and invest in a roof rake.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it from the ground.
This is a two-story house, so
wow.
I don't have to rake that.
All right, well, just be careful getting up on the roof in the winter.
Yeah, I'll do that. I mean, I've done it before, so it's not that bad. I don't go right to the edge, but...
Okay.
It seems to work out for me.
All right, well, I hope that it continues to work out for you and you stay up there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. We're keeping the cold out and the comfort in. We're live from the PermaSeal Attic Insulation Studios. We'll take a quick break and be right back. I heard you gave a little Mr. Fix-It cap. Or did it happen?
Yes, and they were, I'm sure they were so excited. They were their daughter was so excited to give it to her. It's a friend of mine whose parents are big fans of yours.
So nice.
And we sent a hat out.
That was very nice.
It was funny because they didn't put it together that Lindsay
your friends,
on
they
the
didn't
radio
realize
was,
you and I worked together yeah. and they knew you and it was a whole,
so funny.
I love that. That's great.
I do too.
That's great. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. This is Tommy in Walnut Creek, California. Hi, Tommy.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
I'm going to be going on a month's cruise to Hawaii and back for 30 days. My question is I have a gas and an electric water heater. I want to either shut them off, put them on vacation mode, or touch them at all. But my real question is, too, is do you believe in those little pucks that you put underneath any kind of appliance that has water in it? Would you recommend those?
You mean the ones that detect if there's water?
Yes, and then shuts off, can potentially save your problem or even shut off the water. Should I shut the water off?
You're going to be gone how long?
1 month to Hawaii and back on a cruise ship.
I would probably shut the water off, and if you have a whole house humidifier, I would make sure you shut that off because that's going to draw the water and introduce air into the system while you're gone. So
okay. And
so,
do you believe in those little pucks that you put underneath all your appliances?
Well, so I think you might be confusing it. There are sensors in there, but to my knowledge, there's not sensors that then you connect to a valve. You'd have to have a plumber install a valve on your main line. And so there might be systems like that where you do multiple ones, but there is a better system if you're really concerned about it that detects the flow. And if you're going to go the route of a plumber doing this, I think that I would probably recommend that. It's I think Moen makes it. I think we even talked about this once on the show, but it goes into your main line and it actually learns how you use your house from a water perspective. It's smart technology. And if there is a leak detected where the water's running constantly, it will just shut the system down. There's no detectors needed. It's just checking the flow. Now, I have heard that there are some issues with that where, maybe you're watering the lawn and it's going on for a while and it says, oh, I'm going to shut this thing off. But once it really gets going, it works pretty well. And that long term makes the most sense. And yes, putting the electric water heater and the gas one on vacation or off makes a lot of sense as well. I appreciate the phone call, and I hope you enjoy the cruise. That's our last call, sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make. Thank you so much for listening. Nice to be with Ryan Burrow, Mark Carmen. Happy New Year. Lindsay Smithwick, great job today. Always nice to be with you. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Bob Ferguson, for pushing all the buttons. We'll be back next year and next Saturday with more House Smarts Radio. I hope you have a lovely weekend, everyone.